The Tom Woods Show, episode 2054.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, when you're on social media defending the libertarian position on healthcare, oh, you get called all kinds of fun names. Well, I've got just the antidote, my free ebook, Your Friends Are Wrong About Healthcare. Check it out at yourfriendsarewrong.com. Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here. I am joined today by Dr. John Ward. I'm going to have him introduce himself to you in just a minute. Our topic is the problem that physicians face when talking about, well, let's just say controversial issues in medicine these days on social media or in other public forums like that. They can get in trouble. And in fact, they can even have their licenses threatened. This is not a situation normal people favor, and yet this is where we are today. And Dr. Ward is part of an effort, or is spearheading an effort, to change that. So I wanted to have him on today to talk about that. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here with you.
I heard about you from my friend Tho Bishop. I suppose you know him up in the Panhandle.
That's right. Tho and I go way back. We recently defeated a property tax referendum together, and he's just a great guy, such a source of knowledge and economic wisdom.
Well, can you give me a little bit of background about yourself, just because we have not met before?
Sure, Tom. I am a board-certified dermatologist and micrographic dermatologic surgeon. So my day job is more or less curing skin cancer. But of course, you know, with being a medical doctor, you know, we understand immunology, many other facets of medicine that we learned in medical school. And believe it or not, when you're dealing with the skin, you still have to know all about bacteria and viruses and all of these things and the treatments for them, because the skin is a place where we have frequent issues with bacterial and viral infections.
Well, I was particularly interested in something that you've been working on, and that has to do with this whole matter of the threats against physicians if they say the wrong thing, in particular about these vaccines, that they can actually have, if they're accused of spreading medical misinformation, quote unquote, it is conceivable that they can have their licenses taken away. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. So this was inconceivable 2 years ago, that you would have your certification or license threatened for doing anything other than poor practice of medicine or criminal activity that had something to do with substance abuse, or if you were having inappropriate relations with patients or something like that. Obviously, all of those actions are absolutely heinous and would warrant license suspension or revocation. But this idea that you have a different valid medical opinion than the CDC or the National Institute of Health, and speaking that opinion out loud, having an adverse impact on your ability to earn a living as a physician, has been unheard of. But it is being actively advocated and promoted. And I know people who have been adversely impacted by it.
Ah, okay. Well, so as with so many things going on in the United States right now, there is a good effort being made in Florida specifically to try to do something about it. And one hopes that if there is success here, legislative success, then maybe this could be the basis of copycat legislation in other states. So what does it look like? What are we talking about here?
So this issue, which really reared its ugly head in the summer of 2021, was the Federation of State Medical Boards basically launching a campaign against medical misinformation. The Federation of State Medical Boards is, if you think of the American Medical Association, which has its own issues, and every state has its own medical association, well, there's the medical boards in each state that are underneath the Federation of State Medical Boards. So that was where the first impetus to sanction physicians came. And then there's almost a private shadow company called the American Board of Medical Specialties that then certifies all physicians in their specialties. They, within weeks of the Federation of State Medical Boards wanting to sanction physicians, the American Board of Medical Specialties released their statement saying they want to sanction physicians. So myself and some other like-minded physicians who I work with across the state of Florida, we got together and we said, this is a real problem. And we worked together. We identified legislators who we thought would be sympathetic to the causes of freedom. And we got Senator Doug Broxson, who is a senator from Pensacola, Florida. And then we got State Rep Brad Drake, who is he's my state rep up here in the panhandle of Florida. And they introduced legislation, which is made to protect the free speech of not just physicians, but all healthcare workers. And this bill has been heard in one Senate committee. It was this week, and it passed with a favorable vote. And it would make Florida the first state in the nation to protect the rights of healthcare workers to speak whatever their opinion is. And the thing is, this doesn't mean you can say any opinion in the room with a patient, but it means when in open public policy forums, social media, public meetings, all of these sorts of things, you don't have to worry that someone's going to report you to the medical board for saying something that's counter to what the NIH or the CDC is saying.
All right. Now, this, I hope, has some prospects. I guess I was just noticing that apparently it was 2 days ago. So this initial step, and then the legislative session runs till March 11th. What do you think the prospects are for this?
Well, I can tell you that based on the way the committee hearing went, there were really no major groups opposing the bill at the first committee hearing. There was one group called Equality Florida. It's a very, very kind of left-leaning liberal organization that was against it. The three votes against it were the three Democrats on the committee. And funny enough, you can actually watch the video of the committee meeting. And when I was growing up and even in college and whatnot, you know, people were burning flags and, you know, it was always the Democrats who were supporting free speech. And it's just really interesting when you watch the hearing and the Democrats who are during the debate period, and they're just like, there are certain things you just can't say. And it just like struck me as being, wow, they've done a complete 180, and they're no longer, they're the party of censorship. They want to say, yes, if you say certain things, and it's one thing, if you say something that is egregious and your employer doesn't like it and they want to fire you, absolutely, that is your employer's right. But to say that you don't have the ability to make a living anymore in what you train to do because people don't agree with what you said, that's just chilling. It's really a form of fascism that, you know, the Democrats appear to be embracing.
And let's not forget that we're in, I hate this word now, I'm so sick of hearing it, unprecedented times. And we're kind of reacting to events as they unfold. It's not like, especially as we've seen, that from one day to the next, the narrative itself can change. You know, it's no masks, then it's masks, then it's no masks if you're vaccinated, then it's masks for everybody, then it's two masks, then it's this kind of mask and not that one. Anybody who claims to have a complete 100% full understanding of everything that's going on in the world on this thing is a liar. And so we need to have unobstructed, I mean, I realize I'm preaching to the choir here, but we need to have unobstructed discussion, especially at a time like this. For example, we're told that you can stop the spread with lockdowns and stuff like that. Okay, then I want you to explain to me why Japan has such low death numbers from the virus. You know, like what is going on there when they clearly did not have a proper lockdown. I mean, especially these are the same people who say the United States never fully locked down. Well, if the United States didn't lock down, then Japan certainly didn't. And Japan had a very good outcome. We need to know what's going on. And in fact, when they asked Andy Slavitt on MSNBC months and months ago, they had him on, and Florida and California had roughly similar age-adjusted COVID mortality, and they asked him why that should be. And he said, well, you know, there are some things about this virus that are a little bit beyond our ability to understand. And then he just went on and said, but we do know that mask wearing and blah, blah, blah. So he brushed off the key question of the whole thing. Well, obviously, so he doesn't even have an answer. We need to have robust conversations. And the idea that if I participate in a conversation in which I take the minority view, which may turn out, for example, like the very small minority who said toward the beginning that ventilators might not be called for as often as they're being used. They might be killing people. That turned out to be correct. We need to be able to do this now of all times without fearing that I may never be able to practice what I was trained to do ever again. It's just amazing to me.
And especially when you have groups like the American Medical Association advocating at the national level for not just encouraging vaccination. They actually filed amicus briefs in support of the CMS and OSHA mandates with the Supreme Court. And they emailed all of their, everyone in their database, they emailed them this week trying to say, support the AMA because we supported all the vaccine mandates. And I got the email. I haven't been a member of the American Medical Association since 2010. That's when they supported Obamacare. But they actually did get a response from me, which was, I didn't think it was possible for me to like the AMA any less than I already did. Thank you for proving me wrong. But, you know, they sent that out after Pfizer admitted that their vaccine doesn't do anything against Omicron, which is the major variant in America right now. So we literally don't even have an effective vaccine for what's out. And no one can say that we do. And then the American Academy of Pediatrics today telling children in schools that they need to wear masks. And, you know, by the way, there's not a single study anywhere in the medical literature at all looking at children wearing masks, stopping respiratory viruses. Yet we've told people that, you know, trust us, we're the experts, it works. Well, we actually have several studies showing it doesn't work, not a single study showing it does work. Yet the American Academy of Pediatrics is still telling children to put masks on. It's, and just stating this in some circles, in some states, will get your license suspended now.
Hey, folks, I've been telling you a lot about Skillshare lately. I know that, but they are a great sponsor of the Tom Woods Show, and I'm very, very grateful to them. And also, I want you to try them out because they're giving you a free month to do it. And at Skillshare, one membership gets you access to thousands and thousands of classes on all kinds of fascinating topics. Things that maybe you've always wanted to learn how to do but didn't know how to start, or it seemed too time-consuming or difficult, or what would be your first step. And Skillshare will help you open a new door in your life. Or if you're already skilled, it'll take you to the proverbial next level. And I'm talking about classes ranging from everything from software development and coding all the way to film, like independent film, for example, and animation, design, photography, writing, business, even gardening, you name it. They're all short to the point, manageable classes, and you get camaraderie and feedback from a community of fellow creatives. Now, you get a free month, so get over there and try something new. Create a new source of joy in your life and unleash your creative potential. So explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/woods, where our listeners get 1 month free. That's 1 month free at Skillshare.com/woods. This is one of these cases where, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? Because there are countless countries in Europe that do not mask little kids, and they're not doing any worse for it. So what are we supposed to make of that? Now, I'm not saying that it's impossible for them all to be wrong, but the very people who want to mask kids tend to be, in general, the same kind of people who ordinarily criticize us for being out of step with Europe. Oh, Europe is way more sophisticated than we are, and they have nationalized healthcare, or they have a more advanced welfare state than we have, and they have paid leave, and we don't, and we're just so backward compared to them. But all of a sudden, that's all silent now. There's no, we need to imitate Europe. It's now, Europe is the place that shall not be mentioned. Nobody's going to say a word about this. And then another thing, you mentioned the AMA. It's just amazing to me the extent to which you and I live in a society in which every major institution is fighting us. Like, we are at war with basically every major institution and the American Medical Association in medicine. Perfect example of that. But that's been going on for a while, such that there is a kind of a competitor to them, which I know you know about. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons emerged as an alternative to the AMA for doctors who didn't go for the AMA politics.
Correct. And I applaud the AAPS. They have really been a leading voice on sanity. They are the beneficiaries of the AMA's insanity. You know, less than 15% of all physicians are members of the AMA. So when the AMA claims that they speak for physicians, it's just a complete fallacy. And, you know, I don't personally know any physicians who are still members of the AMA because we're all so disgusted by it. And again, it began with Obamacare, but and the other thing is, you know, the AMA doesn't live off of dues revenue. So they have a monopoly on the CPT coding guides. So Center for Medicare Services works with the American Medical Association to come up with all the CPT codes for billing. And they've given the AMA the exclusive rights of publishing the codes for billing, and every physician, hospital, everything in America, they all have to buy this from the AMA. It's the main source of revenue. So really, the AMA at this point is nothing more than an arm of government.
It's interesting the way that tends to wind up happening, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. No, they won't want anyone to actually know that they're nothing more than an arm of government. But anytime you hear something that doesn't make sense, the first thing you should do is follow the money.
Yeah, and I think that story has not even remotely been fully told for the current episode we're enduring. But someday, some scrappy reporter will be ambitious enough to actually want to tell that story. Right now, they all just want to be mouthpieces for the regime. But someday, there'll be a scrappy reporter who decides, I'm going to put two and two together. I don't know if that'll be sooner or later or what. Well, what kind of experiences have you had? Now, I can imagine that if you, given your field of medicine, say anything about COVID or any of the alleged, what we laughingly call the mitigation measures, I can already imagine what they'll say. Well, you're not a this or that. You're a this. Is that what happens?
Oh, absolutely. So I have received, based on, you know, because I advocate for these positions in the public forum. So via social media, via public meetings, you know, I feel like I've been an integral part in keeping my part of the country free of most of the insanity that's elsewhere, because I know how important it is to have someone with credentials to speak to how these interventions are ineffective and how, you know, what the potential harms of these interventions could be. And I've done that. At one point, the county health department was going to put vaccination sites at the schools. And, you know, I sent an email to the superintendent of schools and the school board members and said, hey, look, you know, I will send you VAERS data and show you that these vaccines are harming people. And these children are at very low risk. Look, if a parent wants to take their child and talk to their pediatrician, and they, at the end of the day, they decide to get vaccinated, fine. But the school system does not need to be part of that effort. And that was very successful in doing that. Back during the lockdowns, the county had shut the public accesses to beaches down. And, you know, I'm like, guys, respiratory viruses don't do well outdoors. I'm like, why would we want people not to go to the beach and instead go to stores and or go to enclosed restaurants and all of these things? I was like, guys, the thing we need to be doing is have people outside. So, you know, what every community needs is credentialed voices of reason. And I do think to some degree the regime has figured out that credentialed voices of reason is why they didn't get everything that they wanted. And now they said, well, if we can get these states to make doctors afraid, if we can get their board certifications threatened, if we can make it where they think that there's severe consequences. And again, they don't want it to be, you know, where you send the FBI to someone's house and then, you know, put them in federal prison, because that's going to look really bad. They want it to come through other stealth measures. And that, I think, is the impetus. And it's clearly a coordinated effort. And we in Florida just have to thank our governor, Ron DeSantis, so, so much. I mean, people in Florida who haven't traveled the rest of the nation don't know how good we have it. And getting back to my bill, DeSantis's leadership has really had an effect on what this legislature wants to do. You know, DeSantis setting the agenda, fighting wokeism, fighting cancel culture, all of these things that he's put out there. When I sit and talk to my bill in the offices of these legislators, and as soon as they finally, a light bulb goes off, when I said, this is not just about COVID misinformation. This is about, I mean, they're putting into the American Board of Medical Specialties and the Federation of State Medical Boards is trying to put into professionalism and ethics codes, diversity, equity, inclusion, social justice, the idea that there's structural racism in all medical care, and then putting CRT into it such that, I think you heard about the monoclonal antibody sites in New York City, that if you were not a minority, you were ineligible. If you were at super high risk, you could get it, but you didn't have to be high risk if you were a minority. And that is CRT in medicine, and it's there, and it's being promoted by these national entities. And we have to fight that too, not just misinformation. We have to fight this CRT, the concepts of structural institutional racism, because they're going to use these same mechanisms to silence physicians who speak out about that.
I don't even know where to go with this, honestly. As this thing has gone on, it has morphed into shapes that even I, as cynical as I am, didn't expect would happen. I know I'll have people listening saying, Woods, you should have known that. I know, maybe I should have, but just when you think, okay, the hysteria is dying down, or yeah, people are realizing they're just going to have to live with it, or okay, there's a new variant that, you know, it's much less debatable whether the, you know, the vaccines do anything. Surely this will, and yet it seems to ramp up for some reason. You know, as the more good news comes in, or the more conflicting news, the more they double down on the original plan. It's been a bizarre thing to watch. And then people will say, well, Woods, it's because it's not all about a virus. It's about this or that. I don't know. I mean, we can presume that. Nobody has any proof of what the ultimate end game is. I mean, really, nobody has ironclad proof of that. But it does increasingly seem indeed as if they had our health really first and foremost in their minds, they probably wouldn't have shut down the world and only later said, I wonder if that might have any consequences. You know, it might. There's a chance it might.
The thing that just saddens me about this entire thing is, I got three kids. I have a 14-year-old and 2 9-year-olds. And every guiding principle that I have thought about and followed when it comes to what I personally would be willing to do to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 all came back to, how is this going to affect my children? And I think if we as a nation valued our children, none of this stuff would have happened. We would have never shut down schools ever. The worst thing ever was shutting down schools and going to in-person learning. I mean, every parent that had to deal with that in 2020 for that springtime, everyone saw what an unmitigated disaster it was. And just the reports you're seeing, speech pathologists say that they are having a 300% increase in referrals of young children to speech pathology. Well, why is that? Because facial recognition and looking at mouths move, and you know, some children have chronic ear infections and they really do have hearing impairment. My son actually had to go through speech pathology, not because he's not bright, but because he had chronic ear infections and he couldn't hear from like age 2 to age 5 because he kept having ear infections. But what we as a nation have done to our children, it's going to haunt us for decades at least. None of these people care about children. None of them care about children. They may pretend to care about them, but they don't. You know, my kids are going to be fine. I mean, heck, I moved them a district over because the district I lived in made them wear masks the first year. I said, well, the one next door is not. Hey, honey, pack up our stuff. We're buying a house and moving. But not many people have the ability to do that. It's just really, really sad what we've done to our kids. And they never let a crisis go to waste. So I think that's why they're looking at shutting down people who can take down, because the truth is what can take down a regime. They can lie, they can keep lying, and people who will speak truth to the state, those are the people who can bring it down. And I think Joe Rogan obviously had a huge impact with what he did with some of his interviews.
Oh, no doubt about it. Boy, are they terrified of him. And most of them have never listened to him. And I bet if you asked Neil Young, he wouldn't even know who the interviewees were, who were the bad guys. And I also like people saying, I don't want to hear any more rants from Joe Rogan. You know, it's funny. Anything you disagree with is always a rant, isn't it? I've never heard any rants from Joe Rogan. He's always calm and collected. I hear rants from the other side, but he's just a guy, I think, trying to get to the bottom of things. He's not particularly ideological. He doesn't have I can't really identify a particular philosophy running through the way he thinks, except curiosity. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. Do you, I'm sorry, I mean, you probably said this at the beginning, but my memory is failing me. Do you have your own practice?
I do. I'm a practicing dermatologist. So dermatology specialist of Florida, but we're also in Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama as well. So I'm a bit of a healthcare entrepreneur because, I'm one of the owners of the company, a founder of the company. We've got 30 clinics in 4 states.
What has been your policy about masking, if you don't mind my asking, in the office?
We follow whatever the local government in place and state has in place. So right now, I believe there's only one office in all of our offices where masks are required.
Do you find the patients are requesting that you wear them?
That hasn't been an issue for us. I mean, occasionally a patient will ask, and quite frankly, I follow Dr. LaDapo's kind of approach with that I don't feel it necessary for me to wear a mask, and you're more than welcome to keep yours on. And, I think it's important that physicians, follow the science instead of following the edict. So I try to live my life by example. And I think in one case, someone was very adamant, I may have done it, but even then I said, just so you know, I'm doing this as a treatment for your anxiety, not because I think these actually do something.
Ah, okay. I don't know if you saw that person again.
I think they actually did come back. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's good. That's good. I had a very similar situation, not obviously in a medical setting, but I was riding around in an open air vehicle that takes passengers around in the Virgin Islands, and I was told by another passenger, a young woman who was at zero risk, asked me to put my mask on. And I explained to her that if I did put the mask on, the sole thing that would accomplish is make her feel better. That I promise you this isn't going to do anything. But anyway, all right. Well, I'm glad you're doing this. So what I'm going to do is on our show notes page, which is tomwoods.com/2054, I'm going to post a link to an article about the bill that we've been talking about that would make it clear that physicians are in fact entitled to opinions other than the officially approved opinions, given that, as I say, it is very, very far from certain that anybody has the full picture of what's happening. And we keep getting conflicting statements over and over and over. So the idea that we can't all just put our heads together and try to figure out what's happening seems a little bit laughable here. So I hope this gets some headway. And of course, as you say, the AMA may as well be a branch of the government at this point. So we're fighting against major, major institutions here in standing up for the right to have a free discussion. But I don't care what institution we're standing up against. If we don't stand up here, then we're never going to stand up. So as I say, I'll link to that so people can read about it. Is there anything else you would advise listeners to do to help this along?
Absolutely. So the Florida legislature has really, really nice websites. But if you just Google the bills, it's Senate Bill 1184. and House Bill 687. You can see where these bills are in process. So like in the House, it's before the Professions and Public Health Subcommittee. And in the Senate, it was advanced to the Judiciary Committee. And each committee has a page with each of the members who are on that. So it's really easy to just click a member's, you know, page and email them or call their office. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, legislators do respond to the people, which is the beauty of it. So as long as they keep hearing more people calling them or emailing them to say, please pass the bill, it'll keep moving. And all the feedback I've got is very, very positive. You know, we're one vote was successful. There's five more votes that we go through the various committees, and it all seems very favorable. So whatever your listeners can do to keep the momentum up would be fantastic. And if they do want to follow my Twitter, I update it as it moves through on my Twitter. I'm at Dermatophyte, DERMATOPHYTE.
Okay, I'll also put that up at tomwoods.com/2054. Well, I hope this succeeds. Even if it doesn't, you've started a very important conversation. But we really, really need this to succeed, because if it does, it'll be newsworthy and there'll be other places where it becomes safe to say what you think. Again, imagine that we even have to have this conversation. Isn't this crazy? If only we could have 2019 back. And boy, I loved complaining about all the problems we had in 2019, but I sure wish I could be complaining about those problems again.
I would welcome 2019 back with open arms as well. The level of craziness our nation has embarked in. If you would ask me in 2019 to write the weirdest sci-fi novel I could ever think of, it probably wouldn't have gotten this weird.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Okay, well, I'm going to let you go. TomWoods.com/2054 is where we will link to what we've been talking about. And best of luck with this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, folks, a couple things before we wrap up. If all goes well, later in the week, I will be joined once again by our old friend Adam Curry, formerly of MTV. And we're going to be talking about what can be done to make podcasting bulletproof. I mean, we thought years and years ago that YouTube was a place you could say anything you wanted and you could just make videos on any topic under the sun and people just had to live with it and that was it. And we've seen that was not true. But podcasting has somehow managed to stay fairly secure. Podcast apps are not censoring podcast content. But it seems like the crazy lunatics who want to suppress dissident voices are likely to figure out someday that such a thing as podcast apps exist. So what can we do before that day comes to protect ourselves? And so Adam Curry, who has been a real pioneer in podcasting, has also been thinking about this. And I consider this to be a problem of great urgency. So I'm having him back on to discuss that. And secondly, of course, if you like and appreciate what goes on here on The Tom Woods Show, I would be delighted to welcome you as a supporting listener of the show. You get so many goodies and benefits, you can't believe I'm giving them all to you. Not least of which is membership inside The Tom Woods Show Elite, the best group in the history of the world. Will keep you sane during these crazy times. Join me over at supportinglisteners.com. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of The Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.